We're doing the Tivot Shalom in the Parsha, Parshat Vayigash. Oh, David Chai, when Yosef meets his brothers, he asks them, is my father still alive? Lechora tzich biyut, first glance, it would seem that we have to understand, we have to explain, Sharikvar batchila, kasher ba'u achim el Yosef, initially when the brothers approached Yosef, bapam hazot, this time, sha'al otam ha'shalom avichem ha'zaken asher amartem, ha'odenu chai. His question of them when they first came on this visit was, how's your father doing? Is he still alive? Ve'eshivu lo, and at that time they already told him, Odenu chai, yeah, our father's still alive. Ve'lama sho'alam shuv, so then why is he asking them a second time, ha'od avi chai, is my father still alive? Question number one. Kein tzarich be'yul, so do we have to explain. Ha'lashon, what did he mean when he said, ha'od avi chai? He asked them this time, is my father still alive? What was he stressing with that? Lashon Yachid. He doesn't say Avinu, our father. He says, my father, singular. Why? Madua lo amar od Avinu chai. Why didn't he ask them, is our father still alive? Yes. Od yesh leva'er, shelo matzinu tshuva bedivrei ha'achim al sheila zo. We don't find that the brothers ever answered this question. Three questions he asked them. Three questions the Tivot Shalom asks about this. He says, they already told him. Why is he asking a second time? Why is he asking him the singular term, is my father still alive? And finally, we don't find that they ever answered him. If we want to understand it, we have to introduce first what it says by Yaakov, that when Yosef was gone, it says about Yaakov, Vayimain lehitnachem. He refused to be comforted. Delichora, at first glance, what we would have thought is that Harei HaTzadikim mekablin Ritzon Hashem v'Hanagato Imahem. Isn't part of being a tzaddik that you accept the way God's running the world? So Yaakov Avinu, his son is lost. It's a terrible thing, but isn't that part of being a tzaddik that whatever Hashem decides, we make peace with it? Oh, Vabiyu Bazeh, so the explanation, Al pi hayesod, Shavot HaKdoshim kideshu et atzmam ad she'evarem asu ma'atzmam et otzon Hashem. The patriarchs sanctified themselves to a point where it was natural for them to do the will of Hashem. Their limbs naturally went in sync with the will of Hashem. V'zeu she'ne'emar b'Avraham, that's why it says by Abraham, when he went to do the binding, it says, Vayishlach Avraham et yado, Abraham sent his hand. He took the sword, the knife, lishchot et beno, to slaughter his son. Why does the verse add that point? He extended his hand. He sent his hand out. Why does it say that? Ela sheyado shel Avraham meyana lishchot et Yitzchak. Abraham's hand refused to do it. Whereas ordinarily, he did things because he was in sync with the will of Hashem. Here, his natural reaction was, no. And he had to force himself. But in truth, his natural reaction was in sync with Hashem. Achei sherotzon Hashem ha'amiti haya shelo lishchot et Yitzchak. Because in truth, Hashem did not want him to slaughter Yitzchak. Ve'lo zaz hayad mimkoma, and that's why his hand wouldn't budge. Ad shutzach Avraham l'sholcha bekoach. Avraham had to force his hand to go and take that knife. Val derech ze, and in this way too, gam evarav shel Yaakov u'mocho v'libo, Yaakov's limbs, his mind, his heart, asut ritzon Hashem, they were in sync with the will of Hashem. V'ze haya ritzon Hashem sheYaakov lo yitnachem, and this was part of God's plan, that Yaakov would never be comforted. V'lo yashlim im ze sheYosef einenu, he would never come to terms with the idea, Yosef's gone, now move on with life. No, that was part of the plan. He wasn't supposed to come to terms with it. V'zod me'atam, and that's because dekol yeshuato shel Yosef hayta mikoach itkashrut liYaakov. Yosef made it out of Egypt. The reason Yosef was able to exist was because he kept a contact. There was a spiritual connection between him and Yaakov. Shuayam mikushal Yaakov, ve'Yaakov yam kushar elav. Each one felt the bond. Yosef sensed his father was with him. Yaakov sensed he was with Yosef. Ve'itkashrut azon nishmera al yedei sheYaakov lo yishlim imkach sheYosef enenu v'lomash zichonom elibo. The connection, the spiritual connection was that Yaakov never came to terms with it. He never agreed, okay, Yosef's gone, move on with life. No. And that's what our sages teach. Shebishat nisayon, that when Yosef was having the test with Potiphar's wife, nir'et lo dmut yukno shel aviv, he saw his father's apparition there. He sees a vision of his father. Shezayah mikoach itkashrut liYaakov. That's because he was connected to Yaakov. Achim hayam Yaakov mashlim chas v'shalom im zeh sheYosef einenu. If Yaakov would have said, yeah, it's okay, Yosef's gone, we got to move on with life. Umesich da'ato mimenu. If Yaakov would have said, I'm forgetting Yosef, I have nothing to pray about, he's dead, let's move on. Chas v'shalom haya yechol likrot. So then who knows what would have happened to Yosef. Yaakov keeps praying. Yaakov's still connected. V'rak mikocho shel Yaakov sheyam kushar elav, hegia Yosef liot moshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Yosef ascended to the leadership of Egypt because he was connected to Yaakov. What does that mean, he ruled Egypt? Al kol klipat Mitzrayim. Yosef was able to take control of all the external, what's called the peel of Egypt. Egypt, there's this Hasidic, Kabbalistic concept that we have the internal, the core, the essence of the fruit, and then you have the peel. And very often we say part of what happens with things that are improper is that they are the peel. They are the external. On the inside, there's a lot of good. But on the outside, well, the outside can have, that's what's called klipa, the external. When it says Yosef was ruling Egypt, it means he ruled the klipa, the externals of Egypt. Valken, and therefore, hayazer etzon Hashem, that was God's will. Sheyakov lo yashlim imeadro shel Yosef, that Yaakov would never come to terms with Yosef's being missing. V'yachshov shu adayin chai. And that's why Yaakov kept thinking Yosef isn't dead. Yaakov kept wishing, where is he? And he kept connected to him. Ve'evarav shel Yaakov kimu et ritzon Hashem. And this was part of Yaakov's being in sync with the will of Hashem, because Hashem, in fact, wanted him to keep praying for Yosef. V'u al derech mashal, and this is similar to le'adam shenafal l'shol tachtiyot, a person falls to the depths. Shim yesh biyado chevel hamchubar le'ezeh dvar yatziv en lomah li'ityare. If he only has a rope attached to something steady, so then he doesn't have to fear sheyesh lo derech le'echaletz mimatzavo, he has a way to climb out. Ach im eino kashur l'shum dvar ma'goro ha'matzavo. But if he's left drifting, and he has a rope, but it's not attached to anything, so then he's really got a problem. Because if he falls into a bottomless pit and there's no rope, so then he's really lost. And that's what the Medrash tells us. A person was tossing in the sea and the captain throws him a line. The captain tells him, grab onto that rope. So long as you're holding on to that rope, you have a life. You let go of that rope, you're dead. You have no life. His advice is, grab that rope. If you're connected, even if you're in the turmoil of the sea, in the worst situations, you have a life so long as that rope is in your hand. That's what happened by Yosef. And I want to share with you a piece of advice we received from someone who I wasn't too fond of. We had a teacher who was very vulgar and very inappropriate. And I don't think I learned anything from him except for this one line. He taught us at the end of the year, when we were leaving his class, he said to us, find a Rebbe who you can come to on your worst day. That as far as you fall, you can come back to him. He gave us a lot of advice on his last day. It was he had a lot to say. But that was one line which I really thought that was something worth listening to. The Netivot Shalom says, sometimes in life we have to have a line we're holding on to. You have times in life where you're on the straight and narrow, you know you're going down the right path, things are going right, you're building a family, everything's fine. But then you have times when you're drifting and everyone has ups and downs. And especially a person who makes aliyah, especially a person who is chozer b'tshuva, especially a person who does giyur, so then you don't have that family structure. When a person has it down and he could crash and come home, so he has the line, he has something to hold on to. When a person doesn't have that, a person has to create that. And very often a person creates that when they have a Rebbe they stay in touch with, when they have a yeshiva they stay in touch with. The chozrim b'tshuva and gerim that ultimately succeed, in my experience, are those that keep a connection. And it doesn't have to be a Rebbe from Achon Meir. It could be a Rebbe from somewhere else. But you should have a Rebbe that you're connected to. Connected doesn't mean I call up once in 3 years. Connected means I tell the Rebbe, I want to learn with you once a week. You show up to his shir once a week. You have a connection, a constant. That's a line. And then he might tell you when you go offline, he might tell you, hey buddy, you know, you got to notice A or B or C. It's not right. That has to change. And sometimes no one else will tell you that. But if you have that line, you know, I could tell you that till today, there are times that my father will get me over the head. And then my father tells me, now you're a local Orthodox rabbi. No one else is going to tell you that, right? Be thankful you have a dad to tell you that. I am. It's true. It's important to have someone who's going to tell you you're wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. And if a person doesn't have that, then a person has to create that. Creating that, and this is a message which you guys have to really take to heart. The people who maintain that contact with a yeshiva, they continue growing. They can hold on to it. We have a student who left us almost a decade ago. And I know I get 2 phone calls from him a year. It's a funny line, but it's true. I get a phone call every year of Rosh Hashanah, he wishes me Shana Tova. I get a phone call every time he has a baby. And Baruch Hashem, every year he calls twice. So Hashem should bless him. His family should continue growing, and he should have nachat from all his children. But he feels connected. That connection, the fact that he feels connected, well, that keeps him going in a certain direction. Our sages tell us, even King Solomon, with all his wisdom, so long as he was connected to his Rebbe, he went on the right path. The second he left his Rebbe, he married the daughter of Pharaoh, he started destroying his life. There's something about that connection that helps a person stay online. Yosef has it with Yaakov. He doesn't give up on Yaakov, and Yaakov doesn't give up on him. And so Yaakov is always praying for him, even though Yaakov thinks he's dead, but he knows he's not sure he's dead. And so Yaakov keeps thinking and praying about Yosef. Yosef lechav, and that's in fact what Yosef tells his brothers. What does he say? Ani Yosef. I am that same Yosef. Kmo sheiti mikodem, just as you knew me beforehand 22 years ago. Kach ani gam ata lacha kol hanisyonot she'avarti. Even after everything I've undergone, I'm the same Yosef. V'lachar sheniyeti moshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Even though now I'm the ruler here, I'm still the same Yosef. Val Zeosif, and that's why he added and asked, Ta'od Avi Chai, is my father still alive? Avi Sheli, Hayitkashrut Shel Avi Elai Ha'odena Chaya. He asked them, is my father alive? Is his connection to me still alive? I'm not asking you whether Yaakov is alive. I'm asking whether Yaakov, who's my father, is he still alive? Shadain Akesho Benenu Male Chayut, is that connection still alive? Now we know why he said it in singular form. About the essence of the question, is Yaakov still alive? So that kvar shala mikodem b'tchilat ma'am, he asked them that when they first came. But what he added now was, ha'od avi chai, ha'odenu chai mi. Is he still alive with me? Is my memory still alive by him? Is he still connected to me? V'yesh levayer, and we can also explain, shelo haya zot b'tor she'ela, he didn't ask it as a question. V'arken lo matzino shanu lo achim al kach, we in fact do not find the brothers answering him. Ela she'amar lehem she'ani Yosef, what he told them was, I am Yosef, oto Yosef k'sheiti mikoch she'od avichai, I'm the same Yosef that was around from the strength that my father was still alive. How am I here? Mikoch itkashrut she'avichai bekirbi. my father's alive in me. That's a very powerful idea. Very often people ask, this friend of mine passed away, this relative of mine passed away, what am I supposed to do with that? So people say, I'll light a candle. People say, I'll say a Kaddish in his memory. People say, I'll make a donation in his memory. And we once had a class here. We had a student who passed away, and we invited all his friends. That's a really phenomenal story. Then the class offline reminded me to go back to the story. So a lot of people show up who I never knew. We advertised this like we did it for the Shloshimor at the end of the Shiva. And what I said to them was this idea. I said, the question is how much of him is alive in us. It's not just the question of he passed away, but our sages say, hey, how much do you take of the person with you? Our sages say, if you quote someone's learning, so their lips will move in the grave. They're still alive. The Talmud says, righteous people do not need tombstones. The Talmud says their actions are their tombstones. Their actions live on. I was once, I was tough. It's a different story. It's not for now. So I mentioned that line. I said, does he... We have to ask ourselves, does he live on with us? And how does he live on with us? And this was a student who would always come to the Friday morning class. The next Friday morning, a bunch of people from the audience who I never met before showed up to the Friday morning class. And they were at it for years. They'd come to the Friday morning class. And this was their way of saying, he lives on in us. His big deal was the Friday morning class, even though they never came before. They started coming. And they were diligent learners. They still learn Friday morning, just not in this class. So he lives on in them. Yosef was saying, I am Yosef. And you know why I'm still here, the same Yosef? Because my father lives on within me. And that's where it's important in life to have role models. Meaning that there are things that we should ask ourselves, do I represent him? Is this fair? Is this representative of such and such? I was standing in line with a friend of mine, and I see him taking off his yarmulke. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to cut the line. I said, so that's why you took off the yarmulke. He said, right. I said, so put the yarmulke back on. He said, it's going to be a chilul Hashem. I said, no, it won't. I said, don't take the yarmulke off and cut the line. Leave the yarmulke off and leave the yarmulke on and don't cut the line. If the yarmulke's on, you won't cut the line with the yarmulke on, so leave the yarmulke on and behave like a person should be behaving with the yarmulke on. You know what's wrong. You're annoying everyone here. You're going to cut the line. Why should you do that? So when the yarmulke's on, you feel like you can't do that. You're representing the yarmulke. So hold on to that yarmulke and represent the yarmulke. Well, that's true in many ways. If a person feels that responsibility, I'm representing something here, then that's Yosef saying, my father's alive in me. So that's how I made it this far. When Yosef sees his father and says to the wife of Potiphar, I can't do that. Yosef's telling the wife of Potiphar, you know whose son I am? I can't do that. And that's what it says. Vayavo el Yaakov avihem vayigidu lo leimor od Yosef chai. They come to Yaakov and they tell him, Yosef's still alive. He's ruling all of Egypt. It says Yaakov's heart skipped a beat. He wouldn't believe them. Then they tell him everything Yosef said. And he sees the wagons. And Yaakov's spirit comes to life. Why didn't he believe them? What did he think? They're lying to him. He thinks that his children are coming back after 22 years and they're making up a story. Yosef's life. What does that mean he didn't believe them? And why would they lie to him? They know, they're telling him, Yosef is telling you to come down to Egypt. So what? They're going to play a game. They're going to put a dummy there and say, here, that's Yosef. He believed them, says the Rebbe of Slonim, that Yosef's alive, fine. But they said he's ruling all of Egypt. That means he's in Egypt and he's taking control of the weaknesses of the Egyptians. He's ruling the concept of Egypt. Remember, Yosef tells the Egyptians, you want food, you circumcise. Yosef is changing all of Egypt. When Yosef becomes in charge, so Yosef is moving the Egyptians to be more ethical people, and the brothers come back and say, Yosef is not only alive, he's in control of Egypt. In control in the most positive sense of the word. That Yaakov couldn't believe. How could it be that Yosef went up so high? And he went to the depths of the depths, and he took control of that. By the way, what's the answer to that question? So part of the answer is, because Yaakov invested in him all those years. But the second part of the answer to that question is a very important, it's a concept in all of life.
He translated Pharaoh's dreams, and Pharaoh just told him part of the dream.
That's the method. But the concept, the root, is that Yosef was alone in a house with a woman. And Yosef had no hope. As far as Yosef knew, all his family considered him dead. All those people who had values had turned on him. And Yosef saw no future. And at the lowest moment, Yosef had to decide, will I succumb to my more base desires? Or do I say, irrespective of whether life has dealt me a fair lot or an unfair lot, a sweet lot or the most bitter lot? Here I am a servant. They brought me here as a prostitute. What did they bring Yosef down to Egypt for? He was going to be exploited and violated. So Yosef is there in the lowest of the low. And no one's coming to get him out. His father thinks he's dead. His brothers want him dead. And he has nothing to hope for. And at that moment, Potiphar's wife comes in and says, you know, no one's around. I've been begging you all this time. Come on! And Yosef could start thinking of excuses. Technically, is she really married? The guy's a eunuch. Is this called marriage? He's a saris of Pharaoh. He can't function as a man. Can I kick? Is there? Maybe it's not even called a marriage. Why shouldn't I? And then she comes in and says, you know, I've seen in the stars, the Messiah is supposed to come from me and you. Come, I'll show you. Yosef, good things are going to come from us. Now, technically it happened from their daughter. He married the daughter. But at that point, that wasn't revealed. And here he's being tempted. What's so terrible? So a young man with good looks is being given an opportunity to do something where he could convince himself, no. So I'll fall once. What would be so terrible if I give myself that excuse? You know what Potiphar's wife said to him? You don't have to be intimate with me. Just come lie down with me in bed. Just lie with me. Let me touch you. What's the big deal? No one's around. We'll just go to the bedroom together. Nothing else has to happen. Yosef was smart. Yosef knew where that leads to. And Yosef refuses. Now, why does Yosef refuse? Who knows? Who's going to know? Yosef lives up to that great ideal of there's a Ribon Shalom, and I can't do what's wrong. It's wrong. I'm not going to do it. When Yosef in his private life can have a tremendous victory on this Yetzer Hara, because he had a Yetzer Hara, our sages say as she was coming to him, he emitted his seed. Our sages say as much as he held back, 10 drops came out of him. And that's why Yosef only became 2 tribes. Because he lived up to the test, not... They weren't intimate, but on his own. Between his fingers, okay, sailor, whatever. But the fact that Yosef stood up to that test in the private, no one knew it, that allowed Yosef then to develop such an inner strength that Yosef could then take on all of Egypt and lead all of Egypt to be that pure. Now you can look at that from the spiritual side of things. You can look at it as a spiritual thing. You overcome things in your own spiritual world, you'll be able to help the whole world. That's one aspect, and it's true. But there's another aspect to it. Why are we so weak? Why is it that when we fight for what's right, we fight with weakness? And those that fight to terrorize us, and those that fight in the name of evil, they seem to have no bounds. They have all the energy. They're willing to fight to the death. They're willing to kill themselves. Because they're willing to kill themselves for what they believe in. Are we willing to kill ourselves? We don't have to kill ourselves, but are we willing to go half that mile? Are we really willing to put ourselves all out for what we believe in? If we would have the fervor and the zeal that we should have for what's right, we'd be in a different place in the world. Is anyone willing to stand up in the UN and yell what ISIS is willing to yell? Is anyone willing to stand up and say, I am right, and I'm not embarrassed about it? I have nothing to be embarrassed about. Why are we so politically correct? When Yosef stands up for what's right in his private life, then that gives Yosef the strength. He knows it's true now. So then he could stand up for what's right, and he could tell the Egyptians, no circumcision, no food. How did he have the gumptions to do that? Because when you stand up in your private life for what's right, that gives you the strength to stand up for it outside too. The reason people are weak externally, even if they try to talk powerfully, is because they know that inside, I'm not so right. So how that gnaws at us. And they told him everything Yosef said. That Yosef said, O Davichai, my relationship to my father is still alive. I'm still connected to my father. And that's how I got this far. Then Yaakov's spirit came to life. He said, if he's maintained the connection for 22 years, then I can believe he's gone this far. And with this idea, we can also explain that Yaakov sees the wagons that Yosef sent. And Rashi says the wagons alluded to the Egla Rufa. That's what they were learning when Yosef left. The Maharal writes, it says in Egla Rufa that the elders declare, we know a person's been murdered, we didn't kill him. And our sages say, what does that mean, we didn't kill him? We didn't allow him to leave without accompanying him. So, if we let a person leave without accompanying them, then we did murder them. What does that mean? We didn't kill him, we didn't let him leave without accompanying him. And if you didn't accompany him, that's called you murdered him. So the Maharal explains that when a person's alone, so in heaven they don't watch him as much. When a person's alone, he's so to speak at risk from a heavenly perspective. When a person says, I'm a part of a group, I'm a part of a minion, I'm a part of a people. When a person is not alone, even in his conceptually he's not alone. So then he has a different strength as far as the protection from above. Why do we walk a person out of our house? You guys know when a guest comes, you're supposed to walk them. You walk them out of your home. You're making a declaration towards heaven, I'm still with this person. He's not alone. And then that lends the protection to him for the way that in heaven he's considered that he's not alone. And that's why the elders say, we didn't have a city, we didn't run a city here where people let their guests leave without accompaniment. We see that when Yosef left, Yaakov accompanied him. The verse says, he walked him down from Hebron on the hilltop to the valleys. And that's why when he sees the wagons, so he's reminded that, Yosef is still, I accompanied him, meaning I'm still with him until now. And that's why Yosef has made it this far. And that's why when Yaakov saw the wagons, that illusion that Yosef was telling him, that's when his spirit came back to life. He said, okay, now I understand that what you're saying could be true. The Baal HaTurim says on the Pasuk, Vayishlacheu me'emek Hebron, he says he accompanied him till Hebron. Yosef said, Dad, go back. Why should you walk me this far? Yaakov said to him, no, the Torah says you don't let a person go without accompanying him. And those were the last words that Yaakov said to Yosef. The Torah says you don't let a person go without accompanying him. And that's what Yaakov sees the wagons that Yosef sent to accompany him. And based on this, we could understand it says, Yosef meets Yaakov, and Yaakov tells Yosef in that meeting, he says, now I can die. I see you're still alive. What's he saying? I've seen your face, I see you still alive. He's saying two things. He's saying, I knew you were alive. All those years I was praying for you. But now that I see you're alive in the spiritual sense, you made it this far the way you should have, now I can die. Now I've done my part. You're alive. And this parasha, the Torah teaches us, how does a person hold on in the hardest moments? If a person's alone in his hardest moments, then he has a hard time. But if a person connects, he's holding on to that rope, like the captain tells the guy, so long as you're holding on to the rope, you're not going to die, you're alive. Yosef had his rope. Different people have different ropes. That keeps a person alive. And a number of years ago, I spoke to a Holocaust survivor. And I said to him, how do you understand? He said to me, people tell you stories how in the Holocaust they kept this mitzvah and that mitzvah. He says, we were dying of hunger. Who, you know? He said, you know, but when people kept mitzvot, the mitzvot kept them alive. People kept the challenge, I will hold out till Pesach. And on Pesach, I will find a way to eat matzah. And they risked their lives. He said, you know, they risked their lives to don tefillin. But risking their lives to don tefillin kept them alive. That was the rope they held on to. This is where I'm fighting. I'm going to hold on to this. So the Netivot Shalom says, Yosef's rope that held him alive, he was connected to his father. And when he saw he was going to fall, he looked up and he saw that connection. And that's the question Yosef asks. He's making a declaration. He's saying, my father is still alive. Has he been hoping for me? Because I've been connected to him all these years.